you like to see the big guy, the skipper, the head honcho?
Good morning, Captain.
Good morning, Captain.
You're listening to Morning Joe with the CEO.
Good morning, Rhoda. It is Thursday, April 9th, 7:04 here in beautiful, I guess it's a little bit rainy, southern Spain, and it is time for Morning Joe with the CEO. I'm here with one and only Captain Charles Shimalak. We have two special guests in studio because it's a big month, month of the military child. I have Meg and Christina here. How are all you doing?
Good. Thank you for having us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to have our guests today. I guess we can kick it right off.
It's a big month. I'm excited. I have no kids, so I'm sitting here.
You're excited for everyone else.
Oh, yeah. Well, and myself. I just love seeing the youth develop. You work at the Child Development Center, Meg?
Yes.
And then, Christina, you work Child and Youth Program. So we have
Let's learn about our guests.
Absolutely. I'm excited.
All right.
Absolutely.
Christina, tell us about yourself.
Well, I'm Christina. I'm the CYP program manager overseeing the CDC, SAC, and youth programs. I grew up as a military dependent. I lived everywhere. The usual story of military dependents, right? Born in Japan, lived overseas for a while, and then the longest place I ever lived in one location was Florida for 13 years. So I claimed that as my home. Shortly after graduating from college, I started working for Department of War CYP programs, and I've been working with military children ever since. I love this group. It's near and dear to my heart, and I'm happy to be here.
We're happy to have you here. How about you, Dr. Meg?
Good morning, Rhoda. Yes, thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. Coming up on 6 months fast here in Rhoda, and prior to this station, I've also worked with the Navy CYC CDC programs in Yokosuka, Japan, and Guam. So I have been with the program for a very long time. Decided to work with CYP when we were in Guam. Driving past that building each morning, I decided that's where I'm going to work. So I pursued my American citizenship so I could apply just to work for the Navy. So my background is in elementary teaching. But it just kind of moved then into supporting the Navy and the children.
Well, we certainly appreciate both of what you do. So let's talk more recently. What did you do for spring break?
Well, I had a great opportunity to spend the week with my daughter. We did a couple of day trips in the area. Really nice. We did a spa day, which she absolutely loved, of course. We went to an adventure course. It combines like zip lining and like these ninja obstacle courses. I worked out muscles that I didn't know existed. We had a blast. And then we also went four wheeling in Tarifa. So it's just. It's
have wonderful. You recovered yet?
I have.
Good.
It took a couple days.
Hopefully you got lots of sleep and rest and then were able to recuperate and hit this week.
Absolutely.
Pretty hard. This has been a busy week. We did celebrate the month of the military child through a proclamation, and we will post that out at the exchange along with some other displays crafted by the children of the SAC.
Yeah. Our children made masks for the Boys and Girls Club of America National Arts Contest. They worked really hard on it, and we had a little competition where the parents had a chance to vote, and we had judges to determine which mask best met the intent of BGCA's contest, which was like, the power of us. So
the masks are powerful.
They are.
They're colorful. They're practical. Very impressive.
Thank you. I'll let the kids know that you said that. They'll be happy to hear that.
The spectrum of variety was noted.
Right.
I wasn't sure what they were. I didn't read the sign as I walked in, so I thought that was going to be what I was going to wear as I spoke with them. And I was like, boy, that's a good selection.
Right.
If they could fit on my head. Some of them were larger, you know, some of them were clearly individually tailored, but excellent, excellent work, excellent craftsmanship.
Thank you. Yeah, we had one little girl. She made a mask that looked like her dog. She missed her dog. Her dog's still back in the States. Two other girls, they made masks of each other, two best friends.
That explains it.
Yeah, so really cute ideas that went behind it.
Well, having come from Toledo, where we went on spring break. We saw a lot of the armor crafts and things, and you know, I was able to see the History Museum, and you can see complete suits of armor, and it discusses some of the history there. And so it was reminiscent, and I thought very appropriate to see the handcrafted style of helmets and things done by the children. So carrying on in the ancient tradition of southern Spain.
That's cool.
Dr. Meg.
Hi. Yeah, during spring break, I stayed at work. We wanted to make the week special for the children that didn't get to go away. So our programming focused on something a little bit different for that week. So for our preschool children, we implemented some rotating activities just to make it different from every other day. The children made homemade pizzas and got to enjoy those during the day. And we also did bread in a bag. The children really enjoyed it and got to take it home as well. So mum and dad got to try that bread while they're at home as well. So we really looked at making it a little bit different from our regular programming just to celebrate that Holy Week and Spring Week at the CDC.
Dr. Meg, you put a good point out, Holy Week. How did everyone experience that? That go well, Semana Santa.
Yeah, I'm fortunate to live in the historic district in El Puerto de Santa Maria. So looking off our balcony, we could see the processions assembling and watch it from a distance. But just an incredible week of festivities and really engaging in the culture here in Spain.
Well, and I think that's the opportunity, right? So for the month of the military child, it's, you know, the hardships they go through, and we celebrate their resilience and, you know, the community that it takes to get them there. But also taking advantage of the opportunities so that creates the character that defines them. And so, Christina, you are, in fact, a military child. That's what you told us. And so do you see the similarities here? Do you see the same enjoyment from a different perspective, perhaps, now that you're older?
I do, absolutely. I was actually here in Spain when I was a little girl, and I remember going to the processions when I was younger. It's a very emotional experience. And so now seeing this as I'm older, I can appreciate the artistry that goes behind creating these altars. They're handmade, and it's incredible. I can't imagine being in the mind of an artist who is able to create these beautiful sculptures. So I think I see it a little bit differently, of course.
Yeah. I think what we enjoyed the most, we saw some of the processions, and, you know, one of my children heard the music from inside, and she goes, I really want to see it. And so, you know, it was already a little later, and I said, well, come on out. You know, we happen to be close by, and to see and to explain that this is a community event, that this is a cultural event that's been going on for a very long time, was something that I think was already building a new perspective on. We have our community here on base and in town, and what I call the wider Rota, Team Rota, our community, and then to see a distinctly different community, to really bring it all together, to understand that, yes, while we have our community, we are in a new place, and this is what we get to experience as benefits of, you know, being a military child.
And this weekend was the pinnacle, the Holy Week, and I know that one of the biggest events on base this past weekend, Explosion. Anyone partake in that?
Of course.
Yes.
I mean, the talk of the town, especially in the CYP program. Our kids were really excited about Explosion, and I brought my little one, and she had a wonderful time. Afterwards, they were talking about, you know, how many eggs they got, and just their little stories of how it is that they were able to grab one egg as somebody else was reaching for it.
Well, and again, thanks to the volunteers, the MWR, for the organization, putting on a great event, because, you know, those kind of activities that can draw in hundreds, thousands, and to do it well, where everyone's happy.
Thousands of eggs.
The thousands of eggs. The parents are happy. The food was good. So everyone, there's a little something to keep everybody sane and happy and enjoying the moment. And, you know, being able to transition, and expectation management was very well done.
Great.
So I think it's fantastic. Thanks again, MWR team.
Yes, and also thanks to the CYP staff that support the events as well on the weekends.
Yeah. Yeah, coming in. I know that that's, you know, sometimes I'm curious if someone joins the CYP, if they know exactly what they're joining, and then they get pleasantly surprised when they come to do an explosion event.
Right,
and
we then, get to participate in all the fun, right,
yes.
On base.
So well, fortunate for that. And you get the instant positive feedback, which is pretty cool.
You could say we have the front row seat
right.
to the fun.
Would you say you feel on top of the world?
It's a great segue. I'm excited to hear because it's Month of Military Child. We have two individuals. It's palpable that you're very dedicated and passionate. So we're excited to learn more about the CDC and CYC programs. But as Sir alluded to, On Top of the World, we'll be right back in about 3 minutes. Imagine Dragons with On Top of the World here on AFN Rota the Eagle. And it is Morning Joe with the CO. We have stacked cast right now. Captain Shimalak, Dr. Meg, Christina, Month of Military Child. This is exciting. So I'm just intrigued how you guys got started in childcare.
Well, this is Christina. So I started in childcare shortly after graduating from college. I started working part-time at a child development center, and I realized that there was so much more to child development than I originally thought. I kind of think as children were like this little puzzle, right? And getting into the field, I realized that children are developing and areas of growth, right? And socially, emotionally, physically, cognitively. And then with the right pieces, you can help give your children the tools so that they can thrive. And I thought it was really exciting. So that's how, yeah, I started my passion, and here I am many years later. I won't say exactly how many.
Good morning. This is Meg. For me, my path was always going to be with children. Very young. Classroom set up in mum and dad's garage. The children in the neighborhood would come in and I play teacher. Dad put the big blackboard up on the side of the wall with chalk. And the children in the neighborhood learnt to read and write before they went to school. So my path was always going to be working with children. And just proceeded following that path. And, you know, occasionally I'll step off that path for something else, but I always get back on it. And the path is always led towards working with children and really enjoying it.
And I would make some assumptions here, but I would imagine you find it very rewarding being in Rota and being involved in childcare.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. The opportunity to help bring the two cultures together and to really help our children to experience the world, not just from a textbook, but experiencing it like in real life, right? Having the yeah. opportunity to learn Spanish from a local. We have a couple of events coming up this month, and so we're bringing that cultural tradition into our program. So it's a great opportunity for our military kids.
Give us an overview of everything you're responsible for, because maybe all the listeners don't quite understand like who you are, and they should know.
You're right. I don't understand, so I'm a listener.
I'm responsible for overseeing the child and youth programs, which includes the CDC, the Child Development Center, the school age care program, our youth program, youth sports, and then also our school liaison.
Yeah, and at the CDC, our population is getting greater than we've ever had in Rota before. The base is growing, the families here and their children come in, and we oversee their social, the emotional growth of the children. We support the families as much as we possibly can. Our mission is to support the warfighter and the family. And it's a really great mission that we have at CNIC. And the children are a big part of that mission.
You're pulling my little Commander Naval Installation Command professional heartstrings. That's very, very good. Yeah.
We have the same heartstrings, sir.
Thank you. That's good. I think people don't... I did not appreciate how diverse your portfolio was, your responsibilities. And I think people will enter into a program because you'll have a child of a certain age, and then you don't experience the next level until you kind of age up. You know, and then they transition from development center to school age care. Can you talk through how you transition from one to the other and what's different about the programming?
Right, absolutely. Do you want to start with CDC and I'll take
it? So at the CDC, we take children from 6 weeks of age up until they are eligible to go to school. huge variety of needs from 6 weeks up to 5 years of age. And we take care of them from 6 a.m. in the morning to 6:30 at night, Monday through Friday. So our hours are flexible there to support the family in their needs and also provide that respite after their work day to have some downtime before they go and pick up their children to bring them home.
Who can enroll their child there?
Yes.
So I know active duty.
Absolutely active duty. And they're our priority. Our dual military, our single military, our DOD civilians are welcome, our contractors, pretty much anyone who has access to the base are welcome to come into our programs.
And then with that, after meeting eligibility criteria, we do have a priority list. And so this is something that is managed centrally through the military child care program. And so then based off of an individual putting in a request for care, the system will automatically tell us who it is that we bring in first. And so, for instance, our single and dual active military members, they're at the top of the list. And then after that, it would be like active duty service member with a working spouse. It's a list of about 36
sure
priority structures.
But having walked through, I know we do have capacity.
We do.
Both in the building and room for the staff to grow when necessary, right?
Absolutely.
That's correct.
Right. So
as the base grows, we grow with you.
Right. And I know some people get concerned. They're like, oh no, we won't be able to go. And how will I get to work? And what will I do? We have an answer for you.
Yes. We are here to support you. So if you are interested in full-time care, please go to militarychildcare.com, put in your request for care. And then if you're interested in hourly care, stop by one of our programs at the CDC or at the school age care program. We'll give you a registration packet and get you all set up, show you the classrooms, and so you can have an idea of where your babies are going to be. We want you to feel comfortable, and when you go to work, you don't have to worry about your little ones. You know that they're in good hands.
Staff is highly trained.
Absolutely. We have an incredible group. We have majority of our staff members have their bachelor's degrees in early childhood education or education. They go through an extensive training program. So essentially we take like an associate's degree in early childhood education and we condense it into a year-long training program where we pair like the theory with practice. And we have a trainer who is there to help guide the teachers so that they feel comfortable. So when they're in the classroom, they know how they can handle 24 preschoolers. It's a big job.
And we also have the opportunity of a leadership ladder. We have a built-in system that you can build a career on working in child youth programs. You can start off in a classroom, move forward to a lead, and some of the training that we provide for you can lead to your associate's degree. Mm-hmm. And then you can move through the program, become a director, or move even further and be oversight like Christina.
I love that discussion because as much as we care about the children, we also care about the professionals that take care of them. And then to have professional growth as you grow on is, I think, important for some people who are trying to aspire to be in that profession, right?
Absolutely.
So they both have on-site mentorship. There's a path up. So if you are interested in it, there are, from time to time, jobs available, correct?
Yes. And our military spouses get preferential hire with us, and that job can follow you from your tour to tour in locations. And then we have a system that we can also transfer you, say, from Rota, Spain, to your next location. So your job can go with you.
So let's talk about, so we talked about the Child Development Center. What are the activities? So you've got a variety of age ranges. What are the, what activity applies to a six-month-old that applies to a six-year-old? What's the upper range limit of the CDC?
So for the upper range limit for the CDC would be 5 years.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah, so we have a curriculum for every age group, and it's tailored to the individual needs of the child. And our curriculum, we've just adopted it this year, and it's called Early Learning Matters. And we look at milestones with the children. We take notes. And we have parent-teacher conferences, so the parents are really aware of the milestones that their child children are reaching and then what their next goal is. So it's a huge partnership between the CDC and the families.
And then for our older children, our children are working hard all day at school. So when they come to the school age care program, before and after school program, or the youth center, we want to create fun. We want them to have a great time to just kind of decompress. So we'll have a variety of activities available for them. We have a lot of toys too. Dramatic play. We have science activities. We do experiments. A beautiful playground. State-of-the-art sports court. So we have a lot of opportunities for our kids.
Well, I think fun is learning, and learning can be fun, right? And that's what I think when I take the tour, and I've done it dozens of times, watching other people come through because they're interested. Mm-hmm. It's an exciting thing to see, you know, children developing and the professionalism and the play. I think that's what surprised me the most is how much you can confuse playing with learning. And so you might be thinking, boy, those kids are having a lot of fun. And in the archaic sense, you're like, what are they learning? Well, they're learning a lot, right?
Yeah, and that's part of our mission, is that the children are learning through play. And it's not just the play, it's the conversations and the engagement that we have with those children as they are playing. The ability for them to explain the concepts of putting those blocks together, or even just simple things as sharing and taking turns. So we're really trying to set them up to be successful in life.
I look at the Vamos magazine, and it's jam-packed all the time. Plethora of options.
Right. So extending that to outside of the classroom and the playground, what are events coming up? So you mentioned the Vamos. Thank you for the segue.
Oh, I love it. It's...
What do we find in the Vamos magazine for those who just walk past it every month and only admire the beautiful art on the outside?
Well, no, there's a wide array of options. I mean, youth sports is huge. I've had Coach Shelton on a lot, and he is very dedicated.
He is. We're really lucky to have him. We're right now in baseball season, so that's getting started. So that's really exciting. And then we're going to start with mandatory assessments. Children come in and we get to look at the skill level and then find appropriate teams for them to be able to thrive.
So one of the themes of the military month of the military child is purple up.
Yeah, purple's huge.
Tell me what that means.
So purple up, it is about, well, the color symbolizes the combined colors of the military branches. And so with the Army green, Marine red, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard blue, all come together and it represents purple. And so purple up is really an opportunity for us to celebrate our children and celebrate the stressors that our little ones go through. So that's why Month of Military Child combined with that color.
I had a purple up shirt from last year that was black with purple letters, and now I have a purple shirt with black letters, but purple being the key because it's a joint force and it represents all the children, right? I think some people, that gets lost on them. They get lost in the colors and not the meaning, and the fact that purple is derived from a military source as we talk through the joint world and work on the major combatant command staffs together, especially at the Pentagon, that to be purple is to be effective and lethal in our warfighting professionalism.
I never considered the purple, what that meant. That makes so much sense.
So right.
It's a great, great decision.
So purple is good.
Yes.
What are some good sayings? I know there's lots of nice t-shirts. You know, it's like, I've seen a few with the, related to the military child. Children are like weeds, you can plant them anywhere.
Right, the dandelion.
That's the dandelion.
That's our flower. So yep. Oftentimes we'll have dandelions displayed everywhere because the little petals, you know, they fly in the wind.
And also fun.
Yeah. Yeah. The dandelion definitely represents our little one.
Are there any key events coming up that you're tracking that we can, that maybe parents out there during the next couple of weekends would be interested in doing?
We love parent engagement, and we do have a parent participation plan that we put out yearly to really advertise the events and get that engagement. Coming up at the CDC, we're having a sensory event coming up with all the different sensory tables. We have Ferrier coming up at the CDC, and we also have a picnic out in our quad coming up where we have live entertainment. One of our parents is coming in to play some live music for the children, and we're going to invite the parents to bring in their picnic blankets and sit in our quad and enjoy the music with their children. So lots of entertainment.
At the CDC.
At the CDC in that middle grass area. And we'll make sure to invite you, sir.
Where can we find all that information?
The Vamos.
The Vamos.
The Vamos. Also advertised within the facility on our walls, as well as we attach small flyers to our dailies when we have big events.
The school has two big events coming up. That's going to be really exciting. They have the STEAM Night, where they're going to celebrate science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. So children will pick up their STEAM passport, and they'll participate in a variety of different like activities, and they'll have access to a lot of fun stations. And then, of course, we're going to have the display of the at-home projects that the children have been working on. They're really cool. I don't have a sneak peek of what this year's looks like, but last year was really impressive. So it'll be a good opportunity for kids to see what their peers are working on. Also, the Month of the Military Child Family Night. That night, Dr. Cypress, our child psychologist, is going to do a great presentation on the stressors of military children go through. And then there will be opportunities for parents to leave their children at kindergarten, first grade, over in playground, supervise fun time. And then for the older children, they'll get to participate in a Purple Up dance.
So if somebody wanted to volunteer, because maybe they're thinking this is something I might want to pursue, but I don't want to commit to a full-time job or a part-time job right now. Are there volunteer opportunities, and how would they do that to help Team Rhoda?
Absolutely. There are a lot of great volunteer opportunities. Thank you for asking.
You're welcome.
Over at the Child and Youth Programs, we have opportunities to help our youth sports program, to be a coach. We're always looking for people who are passionate about sports to come out. And at the same token, if you don't know about sports, that is fine. We have a lot of things that you would be able to help support our kids with. And then in the Child Development Center school age care programs, we have volunteer opportunities for individuals who want to spend time with the children. Of course, the individual has to go through extensive background checks and training to make sure that the information is the same. Over at the school, if interested in volunteering, I would recommend reaching out to the PTSA. They do a lot of great events on base. We're very
What's a PTSA?
Old Parent Teachers Student Association.
There you go. Sometimes I forget.
We're very lucky to have them. Great group of individuals who are really dedicated to what they do and create amazing events for our kids.
And watching the events, there's an age range of people who can volunteer. I mean, in the last, just for Explosion, I saw younger people and then, of course, older people.
Yeah, we were so fortunate that a lot of our teens came out from the school to help with the Explosion event. They threw out all of the eggs so that the younger kids could go and they could find them. So it was a beautiful collaboration where we have our older military children helping to prepare an event for our younger ones. So, yes, we do have opportunities for all ages.
Yeah, and I think what I love about the community the most is, by and large, I see the older kids generally take care of the younger kids, and there seems to be less stratification between, you know, I'm only a fifth grader, I'm only a third grader, where, you know, I think they all kind of understand each other, and they naturally will gravitate and pull each other along and cooperate at the playground, and, you know, with exceptions. But I really love watching the kids, you know, grow together and share and play and go outside and make sure that the young ones don't feel left out. And I don't know if we see that outside of this unique community of the military child as much.
I agree. There's that shared experience that our children have with helping to support their parents, right, as their parents are supporting our country. And then moving from one location to the other, our children definitely bond. And that's what makes them so resilient.
Do you have worldwide friends?
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Right? Just the story of being a military dependent and working in the Department of War for so long. You have friends all over the world.
How many times have you crossed paths?
actually, I'm very fortunate right now. I have one of my friends here who we were in Okinawa at the same time together. So crossing paths, I would say, oh, goodness, maybe 10 times, you know, various people.
Yeah, working alongside.
Yeah.
My civilian career has followed, just by chance, a military member with the Navy. We were all in Guam together. Then we moved to Japan, Yokosuka. They were there. Then we moved to Naples, Italy. And again, same area, Washington State, same area. So I'm now waiting for them to come and join us in Rota, Spain.
That's fantastic, yeah.
Lifelong friends, definitely.
I'm continually not shocked anymore, but appreciative that I can walk through the exchange or a doorway and see somebody I haven't seen for 15, 20, now maybe 25 years, and I'll say, hi, haven't had fancy seeing you here, you know, and they're just passing through, you know, just minding their own business.
It's an incredible community.
Yeah.
We live in an amazing community, and I'm excited because we have a special guest in with a different perspective on the community, and it's going to be amazing to hear. So stick around. We're going to take a little song break. The youth of our naval station, Rota community, are ambassadors and representatives of Team Rota, and we are thrilled to welcome on a fantastic representation of that in our 2026 Military Youth of the Year, Emmy Cruz. Emmy, congrats.
Thank you.
It's incredible.
Welcome to the radio show.
Thank
it's nice to have
me.
You. Yeah, it's my pleasure. So have you been on the radio before? Many times?
When I was like 12 years old to answer a question for a McDonald's coupon.
No kidding. Did you win?
Yeah, but we never picked it up.
Oh. You're probably better for it.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell us about Military Youth of the Year. Are you excited?
I was nervous for a long time. It was a really long process, but when I got there, I realized that kids have been practicing since the summertime, when I only practiced since maybe October. And I was like, wow, I feel really underprepared. But when I went into my interview, I was like, actually, I crushed it.
Yep.
And then I was a finalist, and I said my speech, made a couple jokes, made a couple people cry, and it was just a really good experience. I made a lot of friends. I think I can see myself being lifelong friends with for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Well, I think it matters when it comes from the heart, because people can see through, you know, a contrived story or inauthenticity, right? Mm-hmm. So talk about, when did you arrive in Rota?
I arrived in February of 2023, a week before my birthday. We moved from Guam. I lived there for basically my whole, more actually, I lived there my whole life. I was born on Guam. Both my parents were born on Guam. And moving for me was a really big change. So coming here and seeing a new environment, it was kind of a culture shock. I didn't realize there were so many Americans that didn't live in the U.S. because from living on Guam, all I heard was, like, all the Americans live in the big, all the 50 states, and everybody's in California and Texas. And
everybody is in California and Texas and New York.
New York, yeah.
But
yeah.
So not too far from the truth. Yeah. So in this room, I've been to Guam for weeks and weeks and weeks. Dr. Meg, you've lived on Guam.
8 years on Guam.
Yeah.
I've seen pictures. It looks absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, it is. It's a beautiful island, a great culture, great location. Were you able to travel a lot?
Yes, we went a lot to Asia. I think I went to a lot of the East Asian countries before I even went to my first state.
Yeah.
We went to Japan a lot when I was young. We've been to Korea, Singapore, and the Philippines. That's like, I don't know. I think living on that side of the world, like, I got to see more countries and see, like, wow, this is what Japan's like. Well, in the States, you could travel the same amount of time it took me to get to Japan from Guam. You could just go to a different state.
Right.
And I think that's also another culture shock, is how big the United States is, because Guam is pretty small.
I think I find that observation to be true for many people who just live outside of the States. You know, they just don't understand, you know, the ubiquitousness of the culture that extends from coast to coast. So when they think, oh, we're going to travel Spain, and they're like, okay, and they're like, that's a really hard thing. We're going to stop every hour. And then you get someone from Texas who's like, well, I just drove 8 hours today. You know, no big deal. You know, certainly, you know, driving from end to end on the island, there is, you know, slow going sometimes, right?
Yeah.
But the opportunity to travel, that's great. And I know a lot of people choose to go to Guam as a premier destination in the West because they can travel. And so people have been talking about that all my career. And so you had the opportunity to grow up, be born there. What kind of, have you been able to bring any hobbies from Guam?
When I was on Guam, I was very invested in in the cross-country program we had. And I brought that over to me. Now I'm the team captain for our cross-country team.
No big deal.
I was the first elected captain of our school since, I think, 2009.
Yeah.
And I think moving here has really given me, like, the opportunity to go to other schools because it's different. On Guam, you just went to a school across the island. But here you get to go to Germany and Italy.
Yeah.
And you get to meet kids from, like, England and Brussels. And it's just really cool because I get to meet other runners who have maybe not been running as long as I have, but I get to meet people who are faster than me and be like, wow, this person's going to really make it far in something that I like to do. And it's just, it's a really nice experience to see other people who are passionate about things I am.
Have you had a favorite travel destination since you've arrived in Rota?
I really enjoy going to the Ramstein Air Base.
Okay. The big mall.
Yeah. Yeah. They have a Panda Express, and that's the highlight of my trip.
I understand. Yeah. We lived in Stuttgart for a while, and that was a trip that, you know, everyone wanted to take, you know, at least once a year to get that experience. You know, we find, you know, people visiting here sometimes, no matter, you know, especially folks who've been out of the CONUS for a while, you know, just walking through the exchange in the commissary brings those creature comforts and plans for the future.
Right now, as of right now, I want to be a pediatrician for the Navy. Whether that be through the Naval Academy or through a ROTC program, I've always seen myself being in the military, in the Navy specifically. When I was in fourth grade, I was in Sea Cadets for the longest time. When I moved here, I continued that little legacy for myself in ROTC. I'm the XO of our unit right now and the drill commander. And we always have these little events, and whenever I'm doing drill, I kind of remember when I was in fourth grade being like, wait, I don't really remember what my right and left were. And
yeah.
So when kids mess up on it, I'm like, it's okay, because we were all there at one point. And all the steps I've taken to get to this point have been just to lead up to my future. I'm taking a lot of advanced math classes and science classes, and sometimes my grades slip a little bit, but it's life. And I think that all these things that I'm doing is helping me prepare for that bright future that I'm setting for myself.
Well, and I think that's true. That's good. That's good perspective. And having goals early is a great thing, because you can adapt, and knowing that you're moving in one direction, everything that you accomplish, you're going to take it with you, and it's going to help define your character and who you are and contribute. You know, it's not going to... You know, once you get there, if you make it, you know, when you get to an ROTC or an academy or whatever you choose, it doesn't erase who you were and what you've accomplished. You only get to add to that and continue building along your lifelong journey. I think. What do you think?
I think Emmy was a shoo-in for our ROTA Military Youth of the Year, like, nomination. She's an incredible young woman, and she's doing amazing things in school. So we are really proud to have her represent us in Germany.
It's okay to take the praise. You say flattery will get you everywhere. That's fine.
How does that selection process work? Does she get selected, or does she apply for it?
So Emmy worked together with a mentor. And we worked together with a mentor here in Rota, and she had to complete essays, and she worked extensively on the speech that she had to give. She practiced the speech with the youth and then with the panel of judges, so it was a really good opportunity for all of us to be able to help provide feedback to her and ultimately to be her cheerleader. And then with that, then she went to Germany to compete, and she did really well. So it is an extensive process. There was a lot of work that went behind it, but she rocked it.
good. Yeah, I think that the travel, you know, those, you look at, if you, I'm sure you've had some time to think about this, but those micro experiences that puts you out in front of a crowd and, you know, gives you some opportunity to get nervous and to fail a little bit and have positive mentorship from someone outside your family. Were you able to experience the benefit real time as you were going through the process? Or have you been able to see any more of it as you reflect on it?
Well, I feel like I'm really nervous for public speaking. Like, I was kind of stressing in my car before I walked in this building. I was like, where's the front door? I can't find the front door.
Me too.
Yeah. One thing that helped me was I practiced a lot with Miss Anna. She was my mentor, Anna Onnestad. What we did was first we wrote all my essays, and we would go over those essays over and over again. We would rewrite them, spell check, and then it really helped me improve my writing in school. Because they were really long essays, and they were like really condensed. You had to have 5,000 characters, and you had to explain so many things about yourself. And it really just, it helped me find ways to not blabble on. And even with the speech, practicing it so many times, we practiced it on the airplane when there were babies crying and everybody was coughing. And it helped me prepare for when I had to speak in front of the audience, in front of the judges. It wasn't as intimidating as you guys made it seem. Because when I came into practice at the youth center, there were guys in the military. He was in his type 3s, and I was like, oh man, I'm so scared. And then when I got there, there were like older school teachers, and I was like, Anna, okay. But I don't know.
Not as intimidated?
No, I think thinking it's going to be worse, and then when you go there and it's not as intimidating, it kind of takes like weight off your shoulders. And I don't know, I think, like, the kind of nature versus nurture, I think she put me in a stressful environment on purpose, and by putting me in that environment, when I realized it wasn't as rough as I thought it was going to be, it made me feel a little more free to talk, and it made me express myself better than what I would have if it weren't really intimidating.
The power of process and preparation. Mm-hmm. You've just achieved something that people will take a lifetime to do. Now it's what you do with it that counts.
If you can survive the conditions with PAO in a room, yeah, that's an immense stress. That's me.
Do you have any favorite moments from your parents' career that you would that come to mind?
I like it whenever my dad gets recognized for something, because he always gets this cool, like, wooden plaque that the fire department always gives out. I remember when you gave out a speech, and he just got his new pin and his new helmet. I thought that was cool.
It is cool.
Yeah, because we have a little wall in our house with all like his achievements and mine, and it's really nice to see them side by side.
Yeah. Well, one of the greatest things I get to do in my job is recognize people, you know, just like yourself, for all the hard work and the things that they deserve. So, you know, it was certainly an honor to be there, and it means a lot that it meant a lot to you, too. What's the toughest part about travel?
I don't really like being on the airplane. I feel a little claustrophobic in the airplane, flying for so long, and then sometimes when it's just from here to Germany, I'm just like, oh, I need to see some grass and walk. I don't know. I think that's the toughest part about traveling, is that you can't just get there immediately.
Yeah.
And airports are so stressful. There's people trying to get everywhere. People are late. Sometimes we're late. We might miss our flight. I think that's the most stressful thing about traveling, and then packing. Crossing out that a lot, because I'm like, I know what I need. And then when I'm packing, I'm like, maybe I don't know what I need.
Right. Well, you've taken the longest airplane ride possible, right? So you can put that one in your experience bucket too, which a lot of people can't say they have. So that's fantastic. And then, you know, the month of the military child, we're going to ask you a very big, profound question. What does it mean to you?
Month of the military child, for me, it means everybody from different backgrounds, whether they be born in the United States or outside of it. It means that everybody from different backgrounds, different cultures, ethnicities can come together and just live in a community and just work together. Because I think that's what the military is. It's everybody from different places just coming together to support their country. And for us in Rota, it means everybody from different places around the world can come together and support this community.
It's very nice. Nicely done. Emmy Cruz, everybody.
Yeah, unequivocal winner, mm-hmm. No doubt.
Well, we're certainly honored to have you represent us, and I appreciate your time this morning. I know you have a busy schedule. I'm sure I'm competing with a lot of activities, and you know, I'm sure you had something else planned, but we were happy to have you on the show.
Thank you. It was nice to be here.
Any shout-outs this morning?
Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad.
Yeah.
They did well.
Shout-out to FedFire, right? There yep. We go. All right. All the guys and ladies at the firehouse.
Absolutely. And Dr. Meg, Christina, it's been a pleasure having you two in here. Thank you for what you do for the community.
Thank you so much for having us.
It's I mean, I don't have kids, but it's, you can see it. No doubt that it's a great community.
Yeah, the positive impact you have every day, I see it. And so thank you. Thank you both, Dr. Meg, Christina.
You make it seem like Month of the Military Child isn't just in April.
Absolutely.
With everything that happens. But, sir?
We do have some community updates, right? Make sure you update your NFAS.
Oh, boy.
Yep. Make sure you sign up for Ad Hoc.
Naval Station Rota Facebook page has that.
Yep. Mental wellness support is available on the Fleet and Family Support Center. We do have a tenant satisfaction survey out there, so look for that in your email boxes. There is a social media feedback survey from the PAO, I believe. And then upcoming MWR events, Kids Color Run, April 18th. I've signed up. I hope to see you there. Saviana's Dance Class, April 24th. Crowns and Capes, April 26th. I'll also see you there.
Princess.
Unity Games, Great Navy Camp Out. And as always, check out the Vamos magazine.
Vamos is incredible.
And the Coastline newspaper for more information on these and more and ways to sign up and participate.
You see the Coastline right now. You see Captain Chmielak reading.
Reading.
For the youth.
Reading for the youth. Thank you for all our guests for coming on the show.
Thank you. Sincerely, it's been a pleasure, and it's amazing to always see the Vamos Facebook pages. Do you guys have a Facebook page for the CDC and CYP?
No, it's through the Rota MWR.
Okay, perfect. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
It's been a wonderful experience this last hour. 7:58, we're going to go out. Dr. Meg, this is for you, if no one could tell.
Have a great day.
Yeah.
Wonderful morning.
Have a great day. We're going to have Down Under by Men at Work here on AFN Road of the Eagle.